Redline.
Over 15 years since Greater Albania last destabilized the Balkans, a major terrorist attack on the quiet Macedonian town of Kumanovo raised fears of a revolt being masterminded from outside. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, focusing on the most thought-provoking publications of the week. In an article entitled, Disturbing, SDSM and Terrorist Group Plan to Attack Macedonian Institutions on May 17th, written by Maria Nikolovska and carried by the Macedonian International News Agency, the writer says that, as Ministry of Interior officials are investigating the Kosovo terror group, it received knowledge that numerous civilian objects were targets for May 17th, the date they were tasked to begin their terror campaign. It is quite disturbing that SDSM leadership planned the same day, May 17th, as the day to organize a violent protest against the government, tasking civilians to attack and take over government buildings, as noted by an SDSM insider who became disturbed by the plan he was presented. She later concludes that, this fact shows that there is synchronization between SDSM plans and those of the terror group. Mina finds while SDSM would cause disturbance in Skopje, the terror group was tasked to do the same in Kumanovo, therefore spreading the police thin, diminishing their capacity. The SDSM does not want new elections because they cannot win an election. Instead, the SDSM wants disturbances, which, with outside help, will install themselves in the government.
Well, Andrew, I think that probably millions of people in the world would hardly recognize Macedonia on the map. So this is really a small nation which seldom make big news. But as you remember, last week we were discussing Nepal and we were saying that sometimes small nations also mirror global problems. But while in Nepal we had a real natural disaster, when it comes to Macedonia, we can see political earthquake, which is triggered by a terrorist attack. And things are much more complicated than how it looks in newer services. Terrorists attacking hit and run tactic, attacking the city, and it seems as if, well, that was some act of violence. There's always violence in the world. But this is something more fundamental. This is the top of the iceberg. And it seems that really Macedonia is heading to become one of the hot news stories of global media.
Yes, it definitely seems like we're moving there. This might be possibly a third U.S.-Russia confrontation. So right now I'd like to pose the question to Mr. Fyodor Vitalovsky, Deputy Director of the Institute of World Economy and International Relations, who's our in-studio guest. Hello, Fyodor. So what do you make out of all this mayhem in Macedonia? Where do you think it's headed and what do you think's behind it?
I think that Balkans are still one of the most controversial regions of Europe, and instability in Balkans, like it used to be in European history, can also become a trigger for international relations in this region, for European and Euro-Atlantic security, for Russian-American relations. And, you know, such factors as Kosovo, the special region with special regime, which still being a very disturbing point and disturbing source of some activities like we saw recently in Macedonia from Albanian radicals, is still destabilizing the whole region. And I think that the gas pipeline is not the only issue which is influencing on positions of local elites and relations between the different clans in this country.
Absolutely. The gas question is very important because some are saying, I spoke to experts, some are saying that United States are not interested in Macedonia to become the gate for Russian gas for the Balkans. But apart from economic issue, there's also question of political future, of the coherent development strategy which would be selected by Macedonia. And that is why Russian foreign minister was emphasizing that there's a high risk of what we call Maidan or Velvet Revolution there, color revolution in Macedonia. Because, you see, one thing are narrow political economic goals, but other thing is how to translate them into reality. You have to bring loyal government, control government, with limited sovereignty. And this is what actually Macedonia is facing.
Yeah, that's what they're facing because George Soros has a lot of influence there with the Open Society Institute. And actually, it's a pretty common criticism in Macedonia to accuse the opposition of having accepted too much Soros cash. In fact, Some of the opposition is actually fragmenting over those that say they're quote-unquote true opposition, others that say they've sold out too much to George Soros, which, as we know, he was instrumental in organizing color revolutions.
Absolutely, and let us not forget that in upcoming days also, we can expect, because they already announced that, we can expect mass anti-government rallies there. So it seems that this political earthquake is far from being over.
Yeah, well, everything's going to be coming to a head on Sunday when this
Absolutely.
Opposition
wants I to remember, end the protest. Probably you also remember how we in Red Line, we had Milan Panic a couple of weeks back, who was one of the architects of Dayton Agreement. And as you remember, he told us he was boasted very much about that so-called Dayton spirit. He said, with all that imperfectness, so I was the architect of the agreements which brought peace to Balkans. So as things stand now, it seems that, well, probably Balkans can slide to something very dangerous where people like Panic will have to recall their experience.
Yeah, and actually, but I mean, at the same time, though, what happened in Bosnia was different than what happened with the war on Serbia concerning Kosovo. I mean, you had two different issues. You had, you know, Serbians in Bosnia and Herzegovina, whereas in the latter, you had Albanians in Serbia. So I think that, well, maybe if Dayton agreements solve the first problem, or rather froze it, I'm not sure if it'll be applicable in the second, because now they're facing a threat of Greater Albania, which affects all the countries in the region. And Serbia even said that this threat could possibly spread. And the inference is not only to Macedonia, where it is already, not only Serbia, possibly Montenegro, or even northern Greece in Epirus.
I want to ask Fyodor, when we speak about Americans taking the gamble, this is not only about guess, I think, yes?
Yes, of course. It's an issue of political influence. It's an issue of developing of Euro-Atlantic community because, as you remember, Macedonian membership in NATO was blocked by Greece, but the United States are still seeing this region under the influence and under the control of North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And I think that many experts and many politicians in the United States are still looking for Serbia joining the NATO in the close future.
Yes, well, actually, it's very interesting you brought up Serbia because right now we have a Serbian guest on the line, Mr. Borislav Krkodiljevic, independent political analyst in Belgrade.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Krkodiljevic.
Good morning.
So, can you tell us about the Serbian reaction to the events in Macedonia and what people in Belgrade are saying about the future of this crisis? Where is it headed?
You see, the situation in Macedonia is a worrying one, but particularly politicians have a guarded stand regarding the situation there. They think that every effort should be made that situation in Macedonia becomes much calmer. We hope that on 17th, when there will be a new big, or it is expected by opposition that there would be big gathering of their supporters against the government of Mr. Gruevski, that everything will be peaceful there in Skopje at that time. So basically, Serbia would like to see the calming of the situation. But definitely, situation is becoming more and more complicated. In fact, in a very small, geographically very small area of Macedonia, we have at least five main actors, that is the United States, EU, basically Germany, then there is Russia with its interests, Turkey, and China. So five very big main players, some of the main players in international relations, in very small area. And normally that there will be, in a prolonged period, more and more clashes of interests regarding not only that Turkish stream going towards, planned to go towards Central Europe, but also Chinese high-speed rail going from Pirae in Greece to Budapest in Hungary and maybe further to the north. So a lot of economic interests, geopolitical interests, and probably the situation will not become normal in the foreseeable future.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your insightful analysis, Mr. Karkadelovich. We're going to have to speak to you in the future about this for an update. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news this summer about it. Thank you very much.
Red Line.
Joining us on the line right now is Mr. Umberto Pascali, a prominent Italian journalist who specializes in Balkan affairs. What does the anti-terror operation of Kumanova tell us about the objective strength and subjective determination of Macedonia and its government?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that everybody, I would like an appeal to everybody to support Macedonia, because the resistance of Macedonia can really change the strategic situation in Europe and more in general. The government and the security apparatus of Macedonia were extremely prepared, as any observer can tell you. The counterintelligence did a fantastic job. They had precise information on what to do. They executed it. It was a real battle. It was like a military battle, and there was casualties. But now the details on the gang of terrorists is coming out. You can imagine one of the leaders was killed during this operation, was called Commander NATO. They were coming from Kosovo, Kosovo controlled by the U.S. and NATO, and they were supposed to launch terrorism attacks, killing thousands and thousands of people. This has been broken. This showed that Gruevski was able for years to resist an insidious and complex game and to defeat the biggest apparatus launched against this country, many other countries, the apparatus of Soros, of color revolution and destabilization.
Yeah, I mean, there's very, very strong statements right there, and I stand in full agreement with you, Umberto. So what are the implications of this clear victory, both for Macedonia and the Gruevski government, and in the Balkan sense, and even just a pan-European sense? What does this all mean?
Well, the implications are, of course, huge. One of these is that Macedonia, we could say that Macedonia is saving Europe, because by defeating this ISIS-style operation that were prepared coming from Kosovo, they have prevented or at least slowed down the same operation to take place in European capitals like in Rome, Paris, and Berlin. Now we see a different kind of tune. First of all, you know, you saw that Secretary of State Kerry was in Moscow discussing with Putin. So this idea that the Soros organization, this irregular warfare, could defeat every country is gone. The U.S. are recognizing that they don't have this magic instrument.
You've drawn some comparisons before to the Battle of Stalingrad when you were describing the situation in the Balkans. Now, I follow some of your research and your interviews. So can you elaborate on this for our audience real quick?
Yeah, very, very shortly. Of course, it looks like an exaggerated comparison, the big Battle of Stalingrad that really broke the back of the Nazi army and what Macedonia is doing now. But strategically, Macedonia resisting all the assaults against them are creating a situation in which the instrument, the army, the new Nazi army that will be this Soros and the terrorist ISIS style, have been defeated by a small country. This shows to the rest of Europe, to the rest of the world, that the new Nazi can be stopped. And this subjective understanding of the situation, it's already a very important political element. This can change the mind and remoralize many people who saw the insanity of what the U.S. did after the fall of the Berlin Wall as something unstoppable. Instead, now it was stopped. We can go back to 1989 when the perspective was a collaboration between Russia and Europe in the whole Eurasian continent for the common development. This is again on the table now, also because of Macedonia.
Okay, well, Mr. Pascali, thank you so much for your insight. We always appreciate it. And I think that this is a story that won't be going away, and we'll definitely have you on next time to discuss it. Thank you again. Right now, we bring an end to this second section of Redline, and we'd like to thank our in-studio guest, Mr. Fyodor Vitalovsky, Deputy Director of the Institute of World Economy International Relations, Mr. Borislav Kukadelevich, Independent Political Analyst based in Belgrade, Serbia, and finally, Mr. Umberto Pascali, prominent Italian journalist who specializes in Balkan affairs. Following in our program, we have Saudi King Salman, royal snub to Obama, Stay with us.